The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on May 29, 1982. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 18, Text 5.
Day of the Shravana Dwadasi, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion Shravana, at the auspicious moment of Avijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all these stars and planets from the sun to Saturn were munificently charitable. Padki. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, an expert astrologer, explains the word nakshatra taradhyaha. The word nakshatra means the stars. The word tara in this context refers to the planets. And adhyaha means the first one specifically mentioned. Among the planets, the first is Surya. The sun, not the moon. Therefore, according to the Vedic version, the modern astronomer's proposition that the moon is near to the earth should not be accepted. The chronological order in which people all over the world refer to the days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, corresponds to the Vedic order of the planets and thus circumstantiates the Vedic version. Apart from this, when the Lord appeared, the planets and stars became situated very auspiciously according to astrological calculations to celebrate the birthday of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaman Avatar, Leela Ki Jai. When Rupa Goswami, rather when Ramananda Rai, was asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to explain what was the most auspicious thing, he explained so many different things, such as Varnashram Dharma, giving up everything to the Lord. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, go higher, this is external, go higher, go higher. When he said, listening to the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, then Lord Chaitanya said, Iha hoy. Yes, this is a purely internal aspect. This is a transcendental process. So, to hear the pastimes of Vaman Avatar is most auspicious, or any of the avatars in the Srimad Bhagavatam. To hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees is a special benediction. Because the vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam is purely transcendental. So, here it is describing the auspicious moment. Listen, fix your machine outside. Describing the auspicious moment of the appearance of the Lord. The Lord is all auspicious. So, when He appears, everything... when He appears, everything must be in the most auspicious arrangement. So, the stars, they automatically took the most auspicious arrangement for the appearance of the Lord. This is a natural thing with the Lord. Similarly, when an eternally liberated soul appears, he also has the most auspicious arrangement. but not always. But now the Lord's arrangement is the most auspicious. And this is being described here. So, similarly, when our consciousness is fully fixed on hearing the transcendental message of the Lord, then immediately our consciousness also becomes auspicious. As soon as we begin to think about enjoying sense gratification, then our consciousness becomes contaminated. So by the mercy of the spiritual master to whom I offer my respectful obeisances, we today are able to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though we are coming from so many different places, to hear this Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a very, very wonderful opportunity. It mentions that when Vamana Deva appeared, everyone in the whole universe became very happy. In other words, the Lord's appearing in an auspicious moment is not only good for Him, He doesn't need anything good, He's already the topmost pure transcendental personality. But it creates all good fortune for everyone. So similarly, when we chant the holy name of the Lord and the Lord is present as His holy name, then that brings all auspiciousness or good fortune to all of the living entities around the chanting of the holy name. The Harinam festivals which are being taken around Calcutta are causing an immense, unlimited amount of auspicious result for all of those devotees. Srila Prabhupada, he stressed to us how the holy Dham is also not different from the Lord, and how there it is all auspicious for the devotees. Similarly, we place the Lord in temples all over the world, and this creates a very auspicious atmosphere for the devotees. To commit an offense against a pure devotee creates inauspiciousness. Just like when Daksha cursed Lord Shiva, don't sit like that, then it created such an inauspicious situation that the followers of Daksha and Daksha himself, they became cursed and they destroyed due to their offenses. Chitraketu, who was a devotee of the Lord, he committed an offense against Lord Shiva, for which he was cursed, but he was not destroyed. A devotee may sometimes make a mistake, commit an offense, but Krishna promises, Name Bhakti Binashati, my devotee will never be destroyed. But a non-devotee like Daksha, when he committed an offense, practically speaking, he was destroyed. It was only on account of other praying on his behalf to Lord Shiva. And because Lord Shiva was so magnanimous, that Daksha was forgiven for his offenses, and thus he was delivered. In this regard, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his poem that Prabhupada repeatedly referred to, Dushtamon Tumikishir Boishnab, he describes to us about the dangers of giving up the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the preaching, the glorification, the chanting with other devotees. Kirtana, this is verse 7, Kirtana Charivo Pratishta Makivo Kikaj Turiya Tradisha Gaurav Madhavendra Puri Bhavagore Churi Nakurilo Kavus Hodai Jano. He describes, if one thinks that let me give up the association of these Vaishnavas who are chanting the glories of the holy name, who are preaching and engaging in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, let me give up their association because of whatever reason, he may find some superficial defect. Such a person may find it too difficult to worship the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this difficult way. Or that person who's contemplating giving up the Sankirtan movement may do so simply out of illusion or false pride. So that is being described here, that this desire to leave the movement of Lord Chaitanya is a great mistake. One may think that if I go off by myself, or if somehow I do some very severe austerity, that this will create a very good name for me. I'll leave the association of devotees, I'll become independent, and then I will do something very great by myself. I'll chant 300,000 names, or I'll do some very difficult austerity, or I may do some other so-called preaching work by myself. But this is described as simply the desire for name and fame. This is not going to actually bring any real glorification to Lord Chaitanya. It is not going to bring any auspiciousness to the world. Kirtan, this process given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is especially a complete and perfect process. By chanting in kirtan, we have to cooperate with so many others. In the ordinary kirtan, with Midranga, Kartal, there are one or two or more playing drums, others are playing cymbals, one is leading the kirtan, and all the others are replying, some are dancing. In this way, there's a cooperative mood. Someone may be playing a conch shell or ringing bells. Or in this way, a whole orchestra effect is achieved. But the whole operation is meant for glorifying Krishna. In a broader scale, the Brihat Midranga, or the greater kirtan, is described by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of ISKCON. The Brihat Midranga, or distribution of transcendental literature to everyone, also requires a great cooperative effort amongst various types of devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some are writing, some are translating, some are editing, some are proofreading, some are typing, and some are printing, some are packing, some are shipping, some are distributing the same books all over the world. Pika? So, in this way, from the point where one is distributing the book to the time where it is being written, it is all a transcendental cooperative spirit. Similarly, bringing people to the temple, training them in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. These are all forms of the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, one's false ego or a false desire to be independent from Krishna to one to simply follow the dictations of the uncontrolled mind or senses. That is the nature of this material world. So whether one does that simply in a gross way to enjoy the senses, or whether on the subtle platform to achieve some kind of independence from surrendering to Krishna, both of these are considered to be a fall down. So to leave the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means a fall down from the highest spiritual platform. And someone who is advanced in spiritual life, naturally the mind may already be somewhat trained to avoid such a fall down. So the mind is very clever at trying to find some excuse for doing something which is wrong. As it said, that the road to hell is path is paved with good intentions. So, just recently, there was one criminal in America who from his very birth, he was always killing and harming people. He was put in jail. Some so-called social worker, a journalist, made a campaign since he was in jail, since he was 6 years old, to remove him from prison, as he was there for over 20, 30 years. He was already a middle-aged person. Let him out. Let him not have to suffer such a stigma. But as soon as the person was let out, within a week or two, he broke a bottle and attacked a woman and raped her by force, using a broken bottle as a weapon. When he was arrested and he was asked why he did this, he said, "It's not my fault. Actually, this is all the fault of the society, why the women are dressing like this, why a person is not immediately able to have his desire satisfied. It's not my fault. I'm simply doing a good thing, but everyone else is not cooperating, and they're all wrong, and it's very difficult," so on and so forth. He had so many excuses. He would never have thought that he did it wrong. This was his illusion. So, even a person does something wrong, the mind is such, it will say, "Oh yes, this is all right." Even though he knew he would be thrown back in jail, he was committing a bad activity, he knew it was illegal, but somehow his mind adjusted that it's all right to do this. So many thieves, they think that it's all right, I'm stealing from someone, they don't deserve it, I deserve it. So, like this, the mind is being addressed in this prayer that don't be such a fool. Don't think yourself to be a Vaishnava, and at the same time, by any trick of the consciousness, give up the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that you can become more important in some material calculation, or you can stand off aside. This Sankirtan means take the humble position, be one of the members of the Sankirtan. One may lead the Kirtan, another one may dance, another one may follow, another one may play the kartals. Everyone can't lead, everyone can't dance, everyone can't play the kartal. Everyone has to take their part. If someone wants to take another's part, that is simply enviousness. You see. Automatically the Lord will call, "You lead, you play the kartal, you play the drum." As it happens in kirtan, one is not always leading. He gives way and another leads. He gives way and another plays the madranga for some time and he gives it to another. In this way, everyone gets the opportunity as desired by the Lord as it happens. But if someone doesn't play the kartal very properly, just like Srila Prabhupada said, no, you don't play. And ask someone else to play. So, in this way, if one, out of some false pride or illusion, thinks, "Let me go aside from the Sankirtan movement," then he should question his mind, what is the use of that? This pride, what is the use of it? Manavendra Puri is the example given here that nobody can imitate him. Actually, Manavendra Puri is on the transcendental platform. And Manavendra Puri, his good name, his good fortune was always expanding. He was serving the Lord. The Lord stole Kirchhoor for him. He naturally became famous as a devotee for whom the deity stole condensed milk. But Madhavendra Puri, he didn't want any false pride. He didn't want any kind of name or fame. Rather, he fled away that so many people would come to him and disturb his service to Krishna and try to agitate his mind in different ways. So he fled away, avoiding this type of false or this type of... In that sense, it was a real fame, but he was trying to avoid it. But in any case, because he was a real devotee, even he tried to avoid the fame, he was always simply trying to make the Lord glorified, but nonetheless he was also glorified by the Lord's own intervention. So a devotee doesn't have to independently desire. Rather, it's a great danger to do so, to desire for any personal fame, personal type of pratishtha or importance. Rather, the Lord Himself will lift up the devotee. As Srila Prabhupada described, the cream rises to the top by itself. And if someone ever thinks that it's other than the Lord's mercy to get any type of mercy in devotional service, then the risk is always there. The Lord can remove one's shelter at any moment. The spiritual master can remove the shelter. So one should always remain in this mood of simply participating in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a humble attitude. And that is the greatest protection against all types of illusion. And the mind must be trained in this way and trained not to go on this independent path. Even if it seems very alluring, we should know it as an illusion and as a grave danger which can destroy our actual advancement in Krishna consciousness. Goes on to say in verse 8, Tumar pratishta shukare vishta tarshaha shama kabu na manup matsarata vase tumi jararase maje cho chariya kirtana soshtab. The mind is being addressed, being chastised, that the what the mind is thinking to be very important or to be a great name or fame is actually lower than the stool of pigs. It is simply a mental concoction, a distasteful thing which has no beauty and no attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Real devotees are automatically attractive, even for Krishna, because of their dedication, their surrender, their purity of purpose, their austerity. All of their good qualities are manifest because of their devotion to the Lord. So if one does something for any other reason than pure devotion, even it may seem to be very important, that importance is considered to be simply the lowest of the low, lower than stool of pigs, according to the great opinion of the most exalted Vaishnav, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How would you say that? Tar sama kabu na mano.
You not accept equal to this.
You're not even equal to a human being.
Equal to.
I understand that.
Kabu na manav.
Kabu na manav action. Never action.
Means it's lower than a human. In other words, you're lower than a human or an animal. That a real civilized person would never do something like that. The human mind is meant for becoming God conscious. Animal mind is absorbed in sense gratification, absorbed in its own particular bodily consciousness, and absorbed in an enjoying mood. When a mind of an animal sees something, it only sees it in relation to how it is enjoyable to the senses or not. But a human mind is meant to be developed to the stage of seeing everything in relation to the service of Krishna. If Krishna is satisfied, haritoshanam, that is considered to be the real qualification. And if Krishna is not satisfied, that means that that work is considered to be sa'eva gokara, or rather, srama eva hi kevalam, simply a useless waste of time. So, a mind which giving up, surrender to the Lord, Sri Krishna, instead is absorbing itself in any type of subtle or gross sense gratification, is not even a civilized human mentality. It is lower than human mentality. It is like the mentality of the animals. Because such a mind is simply absorbed in tasting the different type of flavors of sense gratification in this temporary material world. That sense gratification flavors are available in the animal species. Sex, intoxication, eating, mating, sleeping, defending, different types of activities that are sources of happiness for the animals are not the suitable sources of happiness for the human beings. So when a person, due to envy, as it says here, matsarata vase, due to some type of enviousness, gives up the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then starts to enjoy the mind and senses and their objects of enjoyment, this is considered to be a fall down, not only from spiritual life, but from human life to the platform of animal life. And we can understand that that means that one will have to lose one's spiritual progress and take many, many rebirths before one can again achieve the transcendental platform if one takes such a gross step after having achieved such a great fortune as joining the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, what type of enjoyment is that when one is given up pure spiritual happiness, which is not tinged with any material misery, with any material inebriety, which is unending and permanent? And due to some type of false prestige, due to over-proud mind, the one absorbs himself instead in imitating such activities and actually simply enjoying the sense gratification of mind and senses. What type of transcendental activity is that? It is simply a very disgusting and very unfortunate activity which any sincere seeker of the truth or transcendentalist or devotee should avoid as the most dangerous of all dangers. Rather, if one surrenders and simply absorbs himself in the Sankirtan movement, then one is always tasting the transcendental reciprocation with Krishna that is fully satisfying. If the question may come up, how can someone give up the Sankirtan if one is practiced? Due to this false pride, if one gives up the Sankirtan, loses the shelter of Krishna, and allows his mind to take control, thinking the mind to be his friend, when in fact his mind is acting as his enemy, and because of his pride, not hearing the good advice of other Vaishnavas, of spiritual master, of Shastra, of spiritual intelligence, and instead follows the mind, which is fixed in a false misidentification as to what are the real values of life, then due to that false pride, one can forget his real duty and fall into this type of illusion. So one therefore has to constantly remind his mind, control the mind with the superior intelligence. Therefore this process of bhakti yoga is known as buddhi yoga, or yoga of the intelligence, where the intelligence is always controlling the mind and senses, keeping them out of the dangerous waters of material sense gratification, of material mental sense gratification, of desiring fame, distinction, and adoration. And verse 9, Tai dushtamon nirjana bhajan prachari cho chole kujogi boivab. Prabhu sanatane param jatane shikha dilo jaha chinta se sab. So, here again, the mind is being addressed, chastising the mind. So my very naughty mind, your materialistic mind, you have led me astray. You have given so many rationale, so many logics, but they're all like the false yogi, simply misleading me out of my real duty, leading me into nirjana bhajan, or solitary worship, leading me away from the Sankirtan shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have cheated me. You are a cheater, my mind. Why should I follow a cheater? My master, Sanatan Goswami, he has so carefully given his teachings to avoid all type of weeds in devotional service. Just as it mentions the different type of weeds in devotional service in the teachings to Sanatan Goswami by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nishidachar kuti nati jiva hingsana puja la pratistadi jato upasaka gana. And many other verses. That breaking regulative principles, being devious or duplicious in one's dealings with the spiritual master and other Vaishnavas, being violent to living entities, desiring to be worshipped, desiring some special position in the society of devotees, or desiring some kind of profit in exchange for one's devotional service, and many other similar weeds in devotional service should be given up and avoided. So, the mind here is being constantly reminded and being put in its place. The mind should be very humble. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we are told by Srila Prabhupada, He used to tell his disciples that every morning he would get up and he would beat his mind 100 times with a broom and 100 times with a pair of shoes to pound the mind into submissiveness to the order of spiritual master, to the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Without that basic submissiveness and surrender seated in the mind, then the mind always becomes our enemy, trying to drag us away from the pure path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So Indra, he assumed the false garb of a false sannyasi to steal away the sacrificial horse of Prithu Maharaj. And thus he started so many upasampradayas or false disciplic successions based upon this imitation yogi or imitation sannyasi. Even today, there are many false sampradayas which do not preach the transcendental truth, but rather preach some type of distortion which looks similar to the truth, but which is actually simply based upon misidentification of body, mind, and soul, and is not authorized by the authorities like Sanatan Goswami or like the authorized revealed scriptures. So the mind is very expert in presenting distorted philosophical presentations. It can take a sloka from the Shastra and completely misinterpret it to give us a reason to perform sense gratification. This the mind has capability of doing. Therefore, one has to simply surrender to the instruction of one's own spiritual master. The initiating guru is the ultimate shelter. Unless he authorizes one to take a instructing spiritual master, one should not take any other instructing spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada has told us that we have him as our initiating guru and as our Shiksha guru for all of his disciples. He said that I am the Diksha and Shiksha guru for all of my disciples. He did not authorize us to go anywhere else apart from his shelter. Like that, one has to follow the instruction of the superior authority, the spiritual master. Because if we follow the mind will give us so many reasons which appear to be philosophically correct. But our mind can cheat us in that way. Therefore, we have to follow the instructions of spiritual master. Then we are saved. It is said in the Svetasvatara Upanishad that one who has implicit faith in the order of spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he very quickly achieves the full shelter of the Lord. Everything, all the secrets of the Vedas are revealed to him. So, it is a duty of every transcendentalist to train the mind. The yogis are doing pranayama, doing hatha yoga exercises to control the body. When the body is controlled, they do breathing exercises to try to control the mind. When the mind is controlled, they engage it in meditation, keep it out of mischief. And finally, in their meditation, they try to achieve samadhi or trance, where the function of the mind is stopped and they're meditating on the form of the Lord. So the path of bhakti yoga is avoiding these mechanical processes of breathing exercises, of acrobatic exercises, and is directly dealing with fixing the mind on Krishna. So when the mind tries to resist, the bhakti yogi, with full determination and strength, smashes that mind, makes it surrender, defeats it with the higher intelligence based on words of scripture, based on the words of the spiritual master, does not allow the mind to become independent, and forcefully brings the mind to listen to the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and to engage in the Sankirtan process of glorifying that holy name. In this way, the mind is kept under control. If we allow the mind to go out of control, then we are in a very, very dangerous position. As the Bhagavad Gita has stated, the controlled mind is our friend, the uncontrolled mind is our worst enemy. So, here, today, we are reading about the appearance of Vamana Dev, how everything was auspicious. So when we can keep Krishna in our mind, when he appears in our mind, and we don't allow the mind to just deviate anywhere else, then everything is auspicious. Then our consciousness is happy. Just as it mentions here, that all the people, they became happy. The demigods, the cows, the brahmanas, the hills and the mountains were all filled with joy. There was happiness in all directions. So when the Lord appears in our consciousness, we'll be happy. If we're not happy in devotional service, that means that somehow we've not been able to bring Krishna into our consciousness. If we're able to bring Krishna in our consciousness, we must become happy. The way we bring Krishna in our consciousness is by serving Krishna. Krishna is not an object of our enjoyment. We cannot enjoy Krishna. That is material. We don't enjoy chanting the holy name. We surrender to chanting. We chant, and if the holy name is pleased with our chanting, we feel joy. The sahajiyas want to enjoy Krishna, want to enjoy the holy name. They want to enjoy the pastimes of Krishna. Therefore, due to that offense, they miss the real joy, which comes from the spiritual platform. And thus they fall into various type of illicit activities, feeling their inner desires unfulfilled. So, real happiness begins when we can bring Krishna in our consciousness by preparing that consciousness through a proper service attitude. And that service attitude is best achieved by serving the lotus feet of Krishna's pure devotee, either personally or by following his instruction. So Vamana Avatar has come. He created all auspiciousness. Similarly, the Lord, he also will come to us just suited for the particular need that we may have to serve him. Our particular relationship with him, to serve him, he will come in the form just suitable that we can serve him appropriately. Vamana came suitable to that need. Krishna will come in each of our minds, in our hearts, when we approach in a proper devotional attitude, just suited to our relationship with him. And he reciprocates perfectly. This is why he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is complete, he is all perfect. So if we feel any incompleteness, any imperfectness, there's no other solution but to further fix ourselves, take our mind in the hand of intelligence and purify it, engage it in devotional service until it becomes the proper receptacle to allow the Lord to appear there. Then we achieve real happiness. There's no other shortcut, no other type of happiness or so-called happiness will actually satisfy us. So we should give up all other desires, all other hopes, except for simply surrendering to this chanting, to the Sankirtan, and allowing the Lord to appear at His own sweet will in our mind, thus giving us complete fulfillment and allowing us to engage perpetually in His service, even life after life. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.